Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we have come to the last three or four verses of Romans chapter 1, and here we have a catalog of the kinds of sins that flow out of the human heart. They're always there. They have always been practiced in every age, at every time. But what we are learning here is that where God removes his restraint as a matter of judgment upon people who have rejected truth, these things will come out in greater measure. They will come out with less restraint. They will come out with less shame, with less guilt, with less timidity, with less caution. They will just flow out in greater measure. And what are some of these things? Well, there's first of all sexual immorality. We talked about that yesterday. There's secondly covetousness, greed. That increases. Where godliness decreases, covetousness increases. And again, I certainly don't need to convince you that we live in a materialistic, covetous age. People are consumed with covetousness. Some people are obviously controlled by covetousness. Their lives are absolutely controlled by greed. And you have acquaintances that you know that fit into that category. I have people that I know that fit into that category. And we see many examples of it around us and the general public and people that we don't necessarily know personally, but we sure do see it on every hand. I don't have to give you examples. All of us probably have read Blondie and Dagwood in the comic strips, and from time to time, all they do, of course, in that comic strip is basically recycle the same jokes and themes over and over endlessly. And one of them is the sale at Tudbury's department store. And you see this picture of ladies rushing into the store and digging into the sale table and fighting and kicking and shoving and pushing in order to be the one to get the bargain that they want. And I used to think that was a bit of an exaggeration, a bit overblown, until I have seen some similar things with my own eyes. It is incredible. And I've had my wife describe some sales that she's gone to. Exceptionally good ones, where people line up outside the door, sometimes hours ahead of time, for an opportunity to get there first. And the door opens, and in people go. It actually happens that way, just like in the comic strip. And some of the tales that I've heard out of this, the behavior of people in there, just trying to be the one to get the bargain, to get what they want. They'll behave in incredible ways to be the one to get what they want. And that's just one of many examples that I could give you. Oh my, the things that people will do because of covetousness, the way they will cheat, the way they will steal, the way they will deceive, the way they will misrepresent, the way they will mistreat others. Have you noticed in the Old Testament how in the prophets, so many times when Israel was in a time of spiritual decline, a time of spiritual and religious apostasy, how often the warnings of the prophets had to do with their taking advantage of poor people, violating the widow, stealing from the poor and the weak and the unfortunate, stealing from the people who have the least to further enrich those who have the most. Well, that's not all that uncommon. That's just a commentary on greedy human nature. And again, not something that has ever disappeared from human society, but where there is a strong godly influence, where there is a strong Christian influence, where there is a general acknowledgement of the God of the Bible and of the truth of the Bible, then there is a strong emphasis in society on restraining greed and demonstrating kindness to others and helping those who are less fortunate. But where that godly influence is removed, those ideals don't seem to take wings and fly. You can talk about them, you can advocate them, but the problem is people don't do them unless, and here's what we watch, what we observe, unless they are forced to do so. In other words, the emphasis seems to shift from individual and private acts of kindness and charity to forced government acts of charity. Sometimes we hear the same songs. We ought to be more concerned about the poor and the unfortunate and less greedy. And so what that means is we've got to have more and more government programs for the poor, and we've got to continue to raise the taxes on the wealthy, and in other words, to force people to do involuntarily what we don't think they're willing to do voluntarily. Kind of a Robin Hood approach. Robin Hood was the guy who stole from the rich to give to the poor and was applauded for doing so, at least in the minds of many people, applauded for doing so. Isn't that great? Isn't he a hero? No. You're not a hero for helping the poor by stealing from the rich. If you want to help the poor out of your own resources, out of the kindness of your heart, that's good. That's admirable. That's commendable. But to help the poor by stealing from others, that's sinful. That's wrong. That's wicked. That's abominable. Two wrongs don't make a right. You say, well, that rich person got rich at the expense of the poor, so I'm going to even the score. Well, that may or may not be true, but the problem is, it's not yours. Give what's yours if you want to be generous. It's not really being generous giving what doesn't belong to you. Oh, how easy it is to be generous at somebody else's expense. How easy it is to be generous by using the federal government to collect taxes and be generous for you. I remember reading years ago about a famous United States senator, one of the most liberal in the United States Senate. He's still there, by the way. But this goes back a good number of years, where I actually read where someone had seen his income tax return, and I suppose in a campaign, maybe he made it public. Or I guess all senators, they have to disclose some of their finances. I don't think they necessarily have to make their income tax return public, but sometimes they'll do so. Sometimes they're called upon to do so in a political campaign, and their opponent will make his last year's tax return public, and that puts pressure on the other guy to do the same. The press cries for it. And so he did so, apparently. And what did it show? That he had given, as I recall, this goes a long time ago, but he had given something like less than 1% of his income to charitable or religious causes. Well, my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Here's a man who acts like he's concerned about the poor, concerned about others, talks about helping others and how important it is to help others, and scolds those that don't seem to want to help others because they don't want to raise taxes and increase the welfare programs for the poor. Oh my, oh my, how concerned he is for the poor. You, can I say it? You lying hypocrite, you deceiving rascal, if you are really concerned about the poor, why aren't you giving generous portions of your income to help the poor? Greed? Easy enough to act like you're a generous person at somebody else's expense, but it's another thing to really be generous at your own expense. Greed. This is what happens. Romans 1:28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed. Greed, 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 greed. Why is it that so many government programs don't seem to succeed? Well, there are a lot of reasons for it, but one of them is because so many times, so much of the program turns out to be now, the benefits all get soaked up by paying high salaries to the people who are involved in the programs. Nobody's sacrificing to help the poor there. Why is it that so many charitable programs, and not all of them are this way, thank goodness, but why so many of them that end up having such a small percentage of the money that's donated to them that actually goes to the cause that they represent? Why do so many of them have such huge overhead? Well, oftentimes it's because the people who work for the program are getting paid handsome salaries. This is supposed to be a program to help the poor. Yeah, I should say so. Helping all these employees at this organization keeps them from being poor. Sometimes some of these nonprofit charitable organizations have directors, some of the larger ones, that are making salaries in the neighborhood of $500,000 a year and more. I've seen them on up higher than that. And, you know, got to do that to get a really good quality person. In other words, they pay their directors, managers on a scale comparable to what they think they are would make if they were directing a comparably sized business. Well, what do you say to things like that? This seems to be manifestations of greed in the name of benevolence and charity. Now, why do organizations like the United Nations, which are supposedly benevolent organizations to help the world and particularly to have a particular concern for the poor and the needy of the world, why is it that there seem to be so many scandals where there's graft, there's people at the top that are scraping off money and enriching themselves so that the very money that is supposed to be going to help the poor and the needy is actually being skimmed off to make multimillionaires out of the people who are running the programs? What kind of concern and benevolence is that? It's greed, 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 and on and on and on it goes. I mean, I could just sit here and cite example after example after example, and I'd never exhaust them all, and I wouldn't touch on the one that comes to your mind. And this is what happens to a greater and greater extent when godly influence declines and is present to a lesser and lesser extent. When God gives men up to a depraved mind, that is, an ungodly mind, then sexual immorality and greed are on the rise. They are going to increase, guaranteed. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.